Good morning. We would like to welcome everybody to this morning's worship, and we look forward to the sermon that has been prepared for us, and praise to God. Before we get started, we would like to encourage everybody. We'd like to have a record of your attendance, so if you would complete the attendance card, which you will find in front of you, and those will be collected at the end of the service. I think they want them passed to the outside aisle. Unless you're in the overflow rooms, then pass them inside. Also, at the end of service, when we do the invitation, we're going to start standing again for the invitation song. And so we wanted to let you know that, and also let you know that if you sit in the first couple of pews up front, with the angle of the camera, your back of your head might get caught for the camera on the online service. And so if that makes you uncomfortable, you know, you might want to move back, but if not, then don't worry about it. So with that, we will begin with the prayer. Father, we humbly bow before you, thanking you for this day, thanking you for this time which you have granted us to come here and worship you. We pray, Father, that our worship this morning will be acceptable to you, that it will be uplifting to each in the congregation, Father, that we will be attentive, Father, that we will take to heart your word, and that it will prepare us for the challenges of this coming week, and that we will seek out ways to serve you. We pray this in your son's name. Amen.
We place you on the highest place. Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dearer far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He the great example is and pattern for me. His promises. upon the Savior and thy soul is secure.
Okay, today's scripture reading is from Acts 7, 51 to 60. I know it says 6, but it's 7, okay? You are stiff-necked people. Your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was given through the angels, but have not obeyed it. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." As they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep.
Is everyone here today? Isn't it good to be a Christian?
Amen.
Hope you've had a good week and look forward to looking into God's Word with you. There was a little girl who went to Bible class and they were learning the memory verse about being the light of the world, and they had learned the song, "This Little Light of Mine, Don't Hide It Under a Bushel, Don't Let Satan It Out," all around the neighborhood. And she was trying to understand what it meant to let her light shine, so she went home and asked her mom, "Can you tell me what it means to let my light shine?" And she said, "It's when you're good and kind and thoughtful and obedient." She worked that word in. And the little girl was shaking her head. And so the week went on, and she went to Bible class the next Sunday. And there was a little bit of a row in the Bible class. And the teacher had to go get the mother. And the mother came into the class and said, "What happened?" She said, "We've talked about letting your light shine, being kind and being thoughtful." And the little girl looked at her mom and said, "I blowed my light out." There are times that some of us blow our light out. Do you let your light shine? And how do you let your light shine? There was a man who was listening to a speaker talk about letting your light shine. And after he was through, at the end, he walked up to him and said, "I saw something pretty interesting in my basement." So he shared this story with him, that he went down into his basement and he always kept a lot of vegetables and different things down in the basement. And he had some potatoes in the far darkest corner of the basement. That's where he kept them. And he noticed that he went over there and they were sprouting. And he wondered, how could they be in this dark, dark corner and get light? And he noticed there was a kettle hanging from the ceiling that had been brightly polished, and the sun would come through the window and hit that kettle, and it would shoot straight at where the potatoes were, and it was giving them enough light to where they were sprouting. And the guy said, "When I stood there seeing that, I thought to myself, as a Christian, I'm supposed to be reflecting the sun, S-O-N, so that it produces light. God has called us to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, to make an impact. But how do we let our light shine? In today's text, as we're talking about cross-culture, being the people of God that have His culture in us, and as we've started with Jesus and looked at what He did after the resurrection, and now we've gone through the book of Acts, and we're looking at chapter 6 and 7 today, we're going to look this morning at four ways to shine for Jesus, looking at the life of Stephen. So last week we talked about there was a problem in the church, the Grecian widows. There was a dispute about the distribution of food, and they solved that problem very wisely. They picked out among them some men who were of good report, full of the Spirit, wisdom, and Stephen is one of those guys. And it's interesting that the wisdom they had was they picked guys that had Greek names. So they were Hellenistic Jews taking care of the women that were the complainers. Pretty smart, right? They were using wisdom. And Stephen is one of those men that is of good report, full of the Spirit, which I think means that like the fruit of the Spirit, those things were coming out of him. The apostles hadn't laid their hands on him yet. And wisdom. And then it continues to show how Stephen stood out. Stephen stood out. When they looked among themselves for the person who had those qualities, Stephen was one of those guys. He stood out. We need to stand out for Jesus. And then it says, they're told to choose from among them, among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn the responsibility over to them. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, in verse 8, performed great wonders and signs among the people. So they were to choose certain men to do this service. And Stephen not only had those qualities, but it also says he was full of grace and power. And he was teaching and performing miracles, and he stood out. And the Sanhedrin didn't like what he had to say, and so they are going to make some false accusations against him. And then look at what it says in verse 15. They began to make up untruths about Stephen, and he's sitting in their presence. And it says, all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. I think that means that he had so much hope, so much confidence, so much courage. He was that kind of person, and it glowed. He was noticeable. He stood out. We as Christians are to be people who stand out. Stand out for what? The qualities of Jesus that people see in us. We're to be reflecting the light of the sun. We live by the motto, what would Jesus do, or what would Jesus have me do? We're people that are to have the mind of Christ, who considered equality with God nothing to be grasped, but made himself a servant, humbled himself to death on the cross. We're to have that same kind of mindset. We're to be Christ-like. When we are Christ-like, we will stand out. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine. It's about our good deeds. It's about us doing good things. When we do that, we stand out. When we tell the truth, when we could hide the truth, we're going to stand out. When we see someone in sin and we go to them and try to help them, we're going to stand out. When we're kind to people who are unkind to us, we're going to stand out. We're to be the light of the world. Don't turn all the lights out. We're called to poke holes in the darkness. We're called to be people who make a difference. How do we do that? Stephen did it because of his character, the quality of his life. He did it because he was reflecting the light of the sun. Paul made an impact on the church because he reflected the light of the sun. You and I will make a difference. Our kids will make a difference in their schools. How are our kids going to conquer their schools for Christ? By being the light. How do you be the light? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Those are things that we should be working on in our life. Paul will say in 2 Peter chapter 1, add to your faith knowledge. And he gives a list of things that we're supposed to be maturing in. Our lights will shine when we're growing in Christ. We have to make sure that we raise the bar and we challenge ourselves to be better and better and better. Deepen your commitment. Strive to be better. Surround your life with things that make you strive for excellence. Because Jesus is counting on you to reflect His light. Are you letting your light shine by your character? Or do we hide? Jesus' whole objective with the apostles when he resurrected was to take them from hiding to conquering, to going, and to rejoicing. Remember that? That's what he wants us to do. Then, Stephen served others. He didn't do something that was all that attractive or desirable. He took on a role of serving widows in need, and he did that faithfully for God. One way we let our light shine is to serve others for Jesus. If you're above doing certain things in the kingdom, when I was training interns, I would tell them, if you're so important that you're too big to set up tables and chairs and do stuff like that, then you're missing the point, right? Jesus calls us to be servants, servant-hearted. You see a need, you do something about it. We all need to work sometimes to improve our serve. And Jesus sets the tempo for us, doesn't he? He was a suffering servant. He gave up his life. He gave up his will. He gave up his comfort for us. And John chapter 13 is a beautiful chapter. Jesus gets up. He sees his disciples. He's continuing to want them to go from where they are to a higher place. And he puts a towel around him and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. It says he shows them the full extent of his love. Well, he's fixing to go to the cross. I mean, that's love, right? He laid his life down for us. But it says he shows them the full extent of his love by what? Serving them, washing their feet. Are you growing in your service to others? Because that's when your light shines. When you don't do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. I'm never more like Jesus than when I serve other people. And sometimes people will tell us, oh, you're doing too much, don't do that. Don't listen to anybody. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Serve the way Jesus served. Was Jesus ever so tired he didn't get to eat? Was he ever so tired? Yes. Scripture paints that picture. Jesus gave it all. He came to seek and save the lost. Servant-heartedness. We sing the song, make me a servant. Lord, make me like you. And Kendall got this all the time. When he didn't want to do something that he should do, I would sing the song, you know, make me a servant. Lord, make me not like Kendall or whatever, just to kind of make the point. Yeah. I don't know if I was exasperating my child or not, but anyway, that's make me a servant. Are we living up? Are we letting our light shine? When we live in a world that is in need, are we willing to serve? If we're ever so busy doing everything just for us. All that energy is inward. I used to have a friend that was a professor at Sam Houston State. He had an experiment. If you put a chemical and you make it stir inward, it will freeze. But if you put the same chemical and you cycle it where the energy is going outward, it creates warmth. That's the church. When we are serving people outwardly, we create warmth. When we quit serving others and we just think about ourselves and we become navel gazers, guess what's going to happen? We're going to freeze up and we're not going to be the church that Jesus wants us to be. In those days, the number of disciples was increasing, and the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because the widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word in order to wait on tables." Stephen was chosen to wait on tables. And then he began to preach and teach and speak up for God, which is the next point. You want to let your light shine? Speak up for God. Opposition arose, however, from the members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it is called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the province of Sicily and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. Stephen spoke up for God. He defended the faith. He contended for the faith. It's not just about talking about Jesus and sharing your witness. And you remember me saying, the world, 66% of them says, we're not coming to church. But 72% of them says, if you're sincere in your faith, I want to listen to what you have to say about Jesus. Sharing our faith is important. But not only sharing our faith, but defending the faith. Sometimes we have to defend the truth because the world will believe a lie. Sometimes we have to speak up in defense of the gospel. These Jews were not obedient, and Stephen had to speak up in defense of the gospel. And we're told in 1 Peter chapter 3, "But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." This is a verse you ought to memorize. Set apart, sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give a what? A defense. So what's that saying? You need to be able to explain why you believe what you believe. If someone begins to ask you, well, why do you do that? Why do y'all take the Lord's Supper every week? Why do y'all worship like that? Why do you do what you do in your relationship with Jesus? Can you give a reason? Can you give a defense to everyone who asks for a reason for the hope that you have? And how do you do it? With gentleness and respect. Don't be a knothead. Don't slap people upside the head with your Bible. Don't be rude. Don't say it's my way or the highway. Have the right spirit about you with gentleness in meekness, give a defense of the gospel. And he's going to give them a defense for what they're accusing him of. They're saying to him, and you can read the text, and if this is a study of trying to take out these nuggets of who we are as the church, so we're not going verse by verse. A couple years ago on Sunday night, I went through the book of Acts verse by verse, and that's on podcast. You can, if you want to go verse by verse, you can listen to that. But let me sum it up. What he's going to do in his speech, which there's a lot of verses in this chapter, is he's accused of blasphemy toward God, toward the law of Moses and the temple. And that's going to be his outline. He's going to say, no, I'm not blaspheming God. I'm not against God. I'm for God. And the way he starts his sermon out is, he says, the God of glory. And the way the chapter ends, he looks up into heaven and he sees the glory of God. That's the book ends. He says, you're accusing me of blaspheming God? No. And he starts in the Old Testament and he paints the picture of his God. He's not the one in the wrong. They are. And he compares them to the children of Israel who were always rejecting Jesus. So he starts off and says, you rejected Joseph. And you rejected him the first time, and it took the second time. And when Moses came, you rejected him the first time. He had to come again. And he shows a pattern in their behavior to be disobedient, hard-hearted, and they continually reject what God sends. And then he says, now you've rejected the one that God has sent. And he stands up for Jesus. And he tells them, you've crucified him. And look at what he says at the end of his speech to them. And this is a story that has a lot of meaning to me, because back in the 80s, good times, back in the 80s, when I was in college with Dee Dee, I was dating Dee Dee, and I had come home with her to Houston, and I'd met Ralph Bryant, and they had a lock-in, and then I got an invitation from Ralph to come to Camp Hensel and play a part in a retreat that they were having. And it was going to be different Bible stories being told. And I looked at a lot of the ideas that he had, and I thought, this is pretty cool. He had two twins in his youth group. One was going to be play Jesus down on the bottom of the hill and get crucified, and the other one was going to be on the top of the hill. All the kids were going to climb up, and the other twin was going to be the resurrected Jesus. I thought, that's pretty cool. And he was going to have another guy quote through the Sermon on the Mount. This is before Mike did it. It was another guy that did it. And they had all these different plays, and he asked me to be Stephen, who gets stoned. So don't go home and say we learned the preacher got stoned. Okay, I was reenacting this, and down at Camp Hensel, the stones are kind of a limestone, and so they used this tape, and they made them look like, it looked pretty real to me. Stacy was there. Stacy was there when I got stoned and didn't try to save me. Stacy Kuba. But you can imagine the scene, can't you? That he's in. And it all begins with him telling them the truth in verse 51. You are a stiff-necked people. Your hearts and your ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. And they weren't going to hear it. And he tells them, you're just like the prophets who killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one, and now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was given through angels, but have not obeyed it. God gave this to you, and you've not obeyed it. That's his point to them. And they're covering their ears, and they're yelling at Jesus, and they're furious, at Stephen, and they stone him. But he keeps standing up for God and for Jesus. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. I thought Jesus was supposed to be sitting, but he's standing. What is that all about? Jesus is the only mediator between us and God. He's our advocate, and he stands to show his support for the one standing for him. And it's a sign of welcoming Stephen. When you stand up for God, he's going to be there with you. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have to be faithful unto him to death, but it means that he is with you. Jesus is your advocate. Isn't that good news? Whatever I do in life, Jesus has got my back. He's there for me. He stands up for me. He is the propitiation for my sins. He's my defense attorney. Jesus has got me. That should give us some courage to stand up for him. And Stephen stands. And I've expressed this song before, but I'm going to repeat it again, because I think if anybody else in Scripture matches that spirit of standing up for God in such a powerful way, it's Stephen. When I was a kid growing up, I heard this song, a music group came through, "Run If You're Going To, Run If You Will." The words are, "Run if you're going to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. When I fall down, I got to get up, because I didn't start out this way. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you're going to, run if you will, but I came here to stay." The decree was signed by the hand of the king, but Daniel still talked to the Lord. Hungry lions roamed the den. Here came dinner, one roared. But if you've been around just a little bit later, you might have heard Daniel say, "If you're thinking about me, boys, you better forget it, because I came here to stay. Run if you're going to, run if you will, but I came here to stay." The boys wouldn't bow, so the king got mad, said, "Turn that furnace up high, bind them up and throw them in. Those Hebrew boys are going to fry." But if you've been around just a little bit later, you might have heard Shadrach say, "Pull up a chair, boys, and warm your hands, because we came here to stay." In no other time in our culture do we need to let those words resonate through us. Run if you're going to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. When I fall down, I got to get up, because I didn't start out this way. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. Our kids right now, I could ask our kids to come up here and quote Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 18, because they're learning that on Wednesday night. When you've done everything to stand, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. We are people that need to stand up for God. The world is telling us to sit down. The world, through its commercials, are telling us, be you. Have it your way. You choose what's good for you, I'll choose what's good for me. We need to stand up and speak the truth in love, but we need to stand up for Jesus. And if they take us to jail, they take us to jail. If they stone us, they stone us. If they take our lives, they take our lives. But we have to have the courage to stand up. Stephen did that. That's letting your light shine. It doesn't mean you're always going to be in that position, but it means you have a spirit that is willing to do whatever it takes for the kingdom of God. That's cross-culture Christianity. Letting your light shine. What are ways you let your light shine? You stand up. It's the kid in Washington whose teacher said, "I'm going to teach evolution. I don't want to hear about creationism." And the kid in the back started singing the song, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So." And all the other kids joined in, and they kept singing that song. And finally, the teacher said, "Okay, I'll teach evolution, and you can talk about creationism." That's standing up for God. We got to be people who stand up. Speak up. Serve up. Stand out. That's what he calls us to. We've looked this morning at four ways to stand up. Little boy was in front of the church for a program, and he was stuck, and he couldn't remember his lines. And his mother was on the front row, and so she began to mouth the words at him that he needed to say. And then she whispered to him, I am the light of the world. And so he got a confident look on his face, and he shouted out to the audience, "My mother's the light of the world." But the truth is, Jesus is the light of the world, but he depends on us to reflect the light, to be the light. Are we being the light for him? That's what he's called us to. All of us need to sharpen our saw. All of us need to dig deeper. Because Stephen sets a standard for us. He raises the bar and says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." I mean, what a great example. We don't know a whole lot about Stephen, But the message shines out brightly and boldly. Do people at work talk about you because of your faith? Do they see the things in your character and they see the light in you? Do they see the beauty of Jesus? A song I really love. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. That's being a light. The world needs us to let it shine. We've talked about four ways this morning to make that happen. May we all be cross-cultural Christians and shine brightly for Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you're not a Christian. We invite you to take that step to be baptized into Christ. Most important decision you will ever make. Maybe you're here today and you've drifted away from God and you need to rededicate yourself because you've blown your light out. You're doing your own thing. You need to come back to Jesus. Or maybe you need to place membership. We had someone place membership. Herman will tell you in a little bit about that. And we're excited when people come and become a working part of this body as we all try to shine for Jesus as we stand and sing.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a living well, and its waters swell, and eternal life they can give. And we joyful sing, ever spring, oh spring, as we haste to drink and to live. Will you come to the fountain free?
Please be seated.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Crimson stain, he bore.
Morning. It's a time for us to kind of prepare our minds and think about the Lord's Supper, which is something we do every week, the first day of the week, for baptized believers. And in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, we have proper conduct that we could look at for observing the Lord's Supper. And this is Paul talking to the church in Corinth. And I'm reading 1 Corinthians 11, starting in 17. It says, "In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have been differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper you eat. For as you eat, each one of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those that have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. For I received from the Lord, which I also passed on to you, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.' For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So we will continue to do this each and every week, thinking about the sacrifice that was made for us. And just as we're singing in the song, our sins are washed away because of that sacrifice. So as we partake of the bread now, if you will, let's have a prayer and also look inward and examine our lives as we think about this. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son Jesus. We thank you for that sacrifice that was made once for all of us. And we pray that we never forget that. And as we partake of this bread, we think of Christ's body that was hung on the cross for our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we take of the cup, I'm also going to read in Matthew, as we're looking in Matthew 27, starting in 45, about Jesus' death. "From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' When some of those standing there heard this, they said, 'He is calling Elijah.' Immediately, one of them ran, got a sponge, he filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, 'Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him.' And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, 'Surely he was the Son of God.'" Surely he was the Son of God, and he died and bled on the cross for our sins. So how fortunate we are to have Jesus and for that sacrifice to be made for us. And as we pray for the cup, let's think about that blood that was shed on the cross that frees us from sin and cleanses us. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you once again in prayer and we examine our lives and how we're living it. We pray that what we're doing is pleasing in your sight. And we think about the blood, and this blood that was shed cleanses us and frees us from sin and brings us closer to you. We know that we have eternal life in you if we believe in Jesus and if we are baptized, that one day we will see you in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Cards that Jerry asked you to fill out. If you're inside the main auditorium area, if you'll pass them out, and if you're in one of the overflow rooms, if you'll pass them in, someone's going to pick those up right now. There's a sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky. Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, while the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is springtime in my soul today.
Little bulletins every morning, and sometimes we look at them and sometimes we don't look at them, and sometimes we look at them but we don't really look at them really good. So as I'm looking to the back, I see Kendall jumping up and down like he won the lottery, but what he's trying to tell me, he had one more song, and I apologize for jumping the gun. We have an opportunity now to reflect upon our many blessings, the blessings to be here, the blessings to have Christ in our life, the blessings to have the opportunity to give back a portion of those things that we have been so richly blessed with, the funds that we have accumulated in our life, that we can return a portion of those funds back to the church so the work can continue to be gone, to be done, to benefit not only us, to benefit others, to keep the church viable, and operational. For those that have made their contributions, those contributions are appreciated. And for those that have not made a contribution but wish to do so, there's a collection box in the foyer, or you can mail those contributions in if you're not with us this morning. Thank you again for your attendance. And before we close, we'll have a word of prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we are so truly blessed to be here this morning. And we pray, Father, that we will let our light shine, that we will see others, let others see us as we are, that we are true believers, that we love the Lord, and that we have not only a duty, responsibility, and honor to take what we have learned to others, but let our lives reflect of who we are and what we are, the followers of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for all those that have made the contributions to keep this church going, to continue to do the good work in the church. We know, Father, it takes not only time, but it takes money. And for these contributions to be made, they are so, so welcome and so needful. For those that are not with us this morning for various reasons, we ask that they continue to be strong in the faith, and to whatever their situation might be, whether it's physical or other means, to be strong, to turn to God in all your troubles. As we close this assembly, Father, we're ever mindful of how fragile our lives are, and we continue to stay strong in the faith by reading the Scripture and follow its teachings. All these things in your Son's name, Christ our Savior. Amen.